This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin Healthcare, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of Healthy Matters on this Sunday morning. And if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Your host, Dr. David Hilden, is in studio. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning, Denny.
And
nice weekend.
Beautiful morning here in the Twin Cities.
It is a beautiful morning.
And you brought a special guest and a topic. I'm trying to think if we've done this topic before.
I don't think we have. No, we're going to talk about endometriosis and other gynecologic problems, but we're going to focus in on that topic. And I was trying to remember, we've done something like 550 shows, something like that, over nearly 11 years. And I don't think we've ever done a show about this topic. And so that makes it about time.
Indeed.
It's about time. And so we've called into duty Dr. Eric Hegard. Now, Dr. Hegard is a guy I have met all of twice. One of them was this morning, and one of them was a few weeks ago. And he has been practicing for some time in gynecology, but he just joined, so he's not brand new to the field. A well-seasoned physician, but he's new to Hennepin Healthcare. He joined us down at our downtown campus just a few weeks ago. Dr. Hegard, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you on. So we're going to get to the topic of endometriosis pretty shortly. But first of all, tell us all about yourself just a little bit. So you've been at Hennepin for all of 3 weeks. How's
That's
it
right.
going so far?
It's wonderful. It's
yeah?
absolutely wonderful. It's kind of everything I hoped it would be, which is a nice, tight community that everybody's very supportive and has been very helpful to me. There's this great sort of spirit of everybody seems – I know this is, you know, this is just 3 weeks in, but people seem generally happy. They're incredibly helpful. And the practice I'm in with my group of other OBGYNs led by the chair of the department, it's just been wonderful. And the opportunity to do some teaching and work with residents and medical students has just been superb.
Terrific. Well, welcome to the place. Welcome
Thank you.
To the show. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Coming in and doing a little radio.
Well, it's wonderful. I'm excited to be here.
we're going to get into that, the topic of endometriosis. Tell me, first of all, what is it?
Okay, that's a great question. Endometriosis is the presence of cells or tissue that is similar to, but not identical, Dr. Hilden, similar but not identical to the lining of the uterus that in people who have periods and bleed every month, that's called the endometrium. And so the presence of tissue that is similar to the endometrium, the lining that bleeds off every month when a woman is having her periods, is called endometriosis. So yeah, the presence of tissue that's similar to the lining of the uterus, somewhere it's not supposed
so
to be.
So it's not inside the uterus itself?
Correct.
What causes that? That sounds weird.
Well, it is weird. It's endlessly fascinating, especially if you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
For people who have it, it can range from being annoying to just almost incapacitating for some people.
In terms of pain?
Pain and usually it's pain that is incapacitating for people. And you ask the question, what is it or what causes it? And it's like probably many diseases, it's more than one thing. There's definitely a genetic predisposition. So if you talk to families, and you start asking around, sometimes it'll be obvious, like, the patient will say, oh yeah, my mom had it or my grandmother had it. Sometimes it's not, which is, problematic because it leads to isolation, that sort of thing. But oftentimes if you dig a little bit, sometimes it's coming in through the father's side. It's not quite so obvious. So there's a genetic component to it. But then there are other things that seem to be contributing. And there's probably an environmental component to it. There's an immune system aspect to it. And so an inflammatory aspect to it. So it's kind of multifactorial. And there's a lot of research and it's not exactly clear.
So how do women know they have it then?
Again, that is, I think, the most pressing or poignant question, I think, that you've asked. Because how do people know it? A lot of times they don't know it. Mm-hmm. Because like many topics of medicine, but I think particularly in areas that have to do with down there, Dr. Mm-hmm. Hilden, you know, down south under the hood, people don't. It's not common dinner table conversation.
Right.
So
right.
It's not cocktail party conversation where you say, how are your periods?
Yeah.
Are they pretty painful? Can you hand me the spinach dip sort of thing?
Right. It's just not going to fly.
It doesn't happen. And so it's a lot of times by the time I've seen somebody, and this actually is borne out by research, it takes often 7 to 10 years before they're accurately mm-hmm. diagnosed. The most common symptoms are painful periods. That's kind of the mm-hmm. Number one on the symptom list. But if you're in a family where perhaps all the women have really painful periods, or people just don't talk about it at all,
you might not even know that.
You might not even know. You might know what you're experiencing is not normal. Mm-hmm. And this is the sad thing about it, is that it tends to affect generally. The symptoms start in adolescence when a girl, an adolescent, is starting to get her periods. Not all the time, but a lot of times if you dig into it again, you'll find, one of the questions I'll ask is, what were your periods like when you were a teenager?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I'll say, well, I had to miss school or I had to miss activities. And that's where I try to kind of focus in on, because most women will have some pain and cramping with periods. But there's a difference between pain and cramping that is annoying, or you take some Advil or Naprosyn or whatever and you go on with your day, versus periods that are so disabling that this young person is curled up in a ball, can't do their activities, can't go to school. And
she might not identify that to anybody, or might not tell anybody.
She might not, or her mom may have had the same thing. And so,
well, that's what it's like, honey. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. this is just... This is the way things are. And so there's no – and again, as a society, we don't talk about these things very comfortably. And so many people don't know that this is not normal. It's not normal. And so one of the messages that I and other people who work a lot with endometriosis are trying to get out in terms of for example, with nurses that work in middle school and that sort of thing, is that painful periods that affect your ability to do what you want to do are not normal. They're not normal. So we want to try to break the sense of isolation and surrounding this condition.
That's an important message right there.
Yes.
I mean, just that very sentence, that if your menstrual period is painful, not allowing you to do your activities,
exactly.
It's not normal.
It's not normal. And so if listeners get nothing else from this conversation today, Dr. Hilden, remember that. So I know that many of your listeners, well, there may be men listening to this, or and people of different ages, maybe you're beyond the time when you're having periods anymore. But if you have young women in your family, women you care about, know that this is – you can help spread the word and just say, talk to this – talk about this subject. Talk about it.
Yeah.
When you sit down as a family, be willing to at least explore this conversation, because it's hard enough for people who are adults to talk about issues related to the reproductive tract. It can be for many young people who have periods. It can be incredibly difficult and scary and that sort of thing. And so sometimes you need to open the door for them. And so if you have young women that you care about and love, and they may be missing school periodically, open the door, because sometimes they don't know how to do it themselves.
Great advice. So you told us that it was due to uterine or endometrial tissue, the lining of the uterus, that's outside the uterus. So right. Are we saying that there's little bits of cells? Is it little cells or is it big pieces of tissue that are elsewhere in the belly, or where is it?
Well, this is the thing that's very mysterious about this condition, this disease, is that generally it's in the pelvis. Mm-hmm. 95% of the time, when you find endometriosis, it will be in the pelvis, sitting on the fallopian tubes, the ovaries, the deep pelvis between the rectum and the vagina, mm-hmm. sitting over the bladder, deep down there. But it can be anywhere. They found it in the lungs. They found it in the brain. And so about 100 years ago, there was a doctor. It was actually maybe even more named John Sampson. And he came up with Sampson's theory of retrograde menstruation. Mm. And so this has been the paradigm for endometriosis and there are still a lot of people who support this idea, which is the idea that when a woman has her period, some blood, instead of going out the vagina, actually comes through the fallopian tubes and falls in the pelvis.
Goes backwards, basically.
Yes. Yeah, it goes backwards. Thank you. That's a better word to describe it. And that the thinking was, well, okay, so these cells go into the pelvis, the blood, and that there are living cells that then plant like seeds into the pelvic tissue and then start to grow and respond to the hormones that the ovaries make. It makes great sense.
It kind of does.
It does.
I have to say.
It makes perfect sense. But the problem is that how does that explain how it gets into the brain or the lung?
Right.
Is that it does, and so things just don't fit. And also, when a pathologist who's a doctor that looks at tissue under the microscope looks at this tissue, it is not identical to the lining of the uterus. It's similar to, but not identical. And so that kind of breaks that whole idea. And so for many people who have read about endometriosis over the years, that idea of retrograde menstruation as being the foundation of it is what we've heard about. But really it's kind of debunked. So when you ask me what causes it, I can say, well, there's environmental, genetic, et cetera, et cetera. It's not exactly clear, but what I can tell you is what it's not, which is it's not based on retrograde menstruation.
It's not because you're bleeding the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly. And
those cells grew there on their own somehow.
Well, that's the thing. Exactly. And so, and the other thing is that probably 95% of women have some retrograde menstruation. Mm-hmm. So if 95% of women have it, why don't 95% of women have endometriosis, and the incidence is about 10%, which is still massive amounts.
10% of women get this.
Yes, have it. Yep.
Wow. We're going to talk a lot more about that, including how you diagnose it, what are treatments of that. We're talking to Dr. Eric Hegard from Hennepin Healthcare about endometriosis in women. And we'll take a quick break.
Yeah, let's do that.
And we'll line up some phone calls, but we have a lot more to talk about after the break.
Very good. Here is the number. By the way, it's the same number both for the phone call and for the text, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226 for your text messages or your phone calls. We'll take this break and be right back. 69 degrees here on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of Healthy Matters. If you want to get involved in the show, two ways to do that. Same number for both phone calls and text messages, 651-989-9226. Here again is Dr. Hilden.
Thanks, Denny. We're talking to Dr. Eric Hegard, a gynecologist at Hennepin Healthcare. We're talking about endometriosis today. And so we'll get back to that topic in just a moment. But before I do, I want to mention something that I did last week as well about our Brooklyn Park Clinic. We have a huge patient population who lives in the northern metro area in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, northern Minneapolis, the areas out that way, all the way out into Maple Grove, even if you're up in Hopkins, Plymouth, that area. The Brooklyn Park Clinic is a really fine facility with great doctors up in Brooklyn Park. But the good news is that it's expanding. We're really putting a lot of effort into the Brooklyn Park Clinic. It's located at 7650 Zane Avenue North. It has doubled in size. It's added more specialty services, including chiropractic and acupuncture. It's got a physical therapy gym now and an on-site pharmacy. So you can get all your healthcare needs at one location if you live in the northwest suburbs. We have primary care at Brooklyn Park. We have pediatrics. There's infusion therapy and diabetes educators. So the Brooklyn Park Clinic and Pharmacy, it's growing. It's good. It's there for you, for your whole family. So learn more at hennepinhealthcare.org/Brooklyn Park. It's really a great place to get your care. You can get just about anything you need out there at the newly doubled in size Brooklyn Park Clinic and Pharmacy. So back to endometriosis. So Dr. Hegard, we were talking a little bit about, you know, what is it? What causes it? You know, what are some of the theories about it? And, you know, and how it presents, what kind of symptoms. Can you talk about the long-term effects then of endometriosis? And yes. I'm gonna ask you to answer this question because it came from a listener via our text line. It says, does having endometriosis affect a woman's ability to conceive? So can you talk about fertility issues?
Yes. Yeah, so let me just circle back for just a second, which is that symptoms. So these are things that people should pay attention to, which is painful periods. That's the classic one. But as time goes on, painful sex, painful bowel movements, painful urination, and pain. So a lot of times it is a progression that oftentimes in earlier stages when a woman is younger that it may be painful periods, brutally painful periods. But as time goes on, it progresses to these other things.
Would that pain, the other ones you talked about, painful bowel movements, pain for sexual intercourse, all that stuff, would it be only during her period or throughout the month?
Well, that's the tragedy of the condition is that oftentimes it starts, it's cyclical. Oftentimes it's worse when a person is having their period. And everybody's disease is different. This is the mysterious thing about it, which is that some people – it may stay mild for their whole life. Other people, it can progress to disabling pain. But oftentimes it'll start with pain during the period. But as time goes on, it can just become pain all the time. And so these are the thing. This is the reason why we want to recognize these symptoms, make a diagnosis, and intervene early. Because if you can, we believe and we hope that if you can intervene on this disease early, you can change the trajectory of a woman's life. Mm. Because by the time many times by the time I see somebody, they've had multiple surgeries, they've had misdiagnoses for years and years and years, and they're coming to me, and they have not in addition to just endometriosis, I shouldn't say just endometriosis, but in addition to endometriosis, they now have a plethora of other things. They have chronic pain syndrome. They have painful bladder syndrome. They have what's called pelvic floor disorder, which is or dysfunction, where the muscles of the pelvis and the ligaments and are not balanced. And so, and then they have a nerve. What happens with people with chronic pain syndromes is that the nerves that go everywhere in your body, you know, your brain and nervous system get rewired, and so the volume of the signal, the pain signal that comes from that area is higher than it should be. So that's why when we circle back and we start talking about treatment, it's a multi-front attack on
right.
this to manage it. But
and I do want to come back and talk after the top of the hour. I want to talk about what treatments you're talking about.
Okay, and so your listener had asked about fertility.
Yeah, is that a concern?
Yes. And so if you come into my office and you are having trouble getting pregnant, and we've ruled out the obvious things, like, you know, do you remember this from medical school, Dr. Hilden? The most common reason couples have trouble getting pregnant is, number one, the woman doesn't release an egg on a regular basis. Number two, there's some obstruction with the ability of the egg to get from the uterus or from the ovary through the fallopian tube into the uterus. And number three, problems with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Those make up 25% each. And so as a physician, you've ruled out or you've made sure, oh, yeah, she ovulates. You've made sure her tubes are open. You make sure the male partner in heteronormative relationships has a normal sperm count. Well, and they're young, you know, so age-related problems with fertility are a big deal too. But if you've ruled out all that, I can tell you, you've got a 50% chance you've got endometriosis just because you're sitting in the chair and you have a pulse. Whether you have symptoms or not, 50% of the time you will have endometriosis if all those other stuff is not present. And so, yes, yeah, so endometriosis in and of itself can cause problems with fertility. Why? There's a number of different reasons.
I'm glad you said that, because I didn't say why.
Well, because if you look at inside with a laparoscope, with a camera in somebody's belly, on somebody who's got endometriosis, there are different stages. There's minimal, mild, moderate, and severe. And in people who have minimal disease, you may see little spots, like red spots or black spots, blue spots, that sort of thing. Or sometimes they can be incredibly—
Just on the internal organs?
Yes, sitting—
Scattered throughout?
Right. Yes, exactly. Scattered throughout, usually in the pelvis. But in more severe stages of the disease, it can look like somebody's taken glue and thrown it in the pelvis. And everything is stuck together. The bladder can be stuck to the uterus. The ovaries can be stuck behind the uterus or the pelvic sidewall. The tubes can be stuck down. And the way it is important for when we're trying to get pregnant, that everything be mobile. The fallopian tubes need to move around and grab the egg, almost like an outfielder grabs a fly ball. It needs to be able to move. And so if they're stuck down, those fallopian tubes can't crawl to the ovary and catch the egg. And so we call that anatomic distortion. Things are just not moving around. So that's kind of obvious. If you show somebody a picture of somebody with severe endometriosis, they'll look at it and say,
that's
obvious,
that, yeah.
Right? But there's more than that. We all have this fluid that sort of floats around in our guts, that lubricates our bowels. And in women, that fluid actually goes in and out of the fallopian tubes and circulating back and forth. And there's all this stuff in there that's not supposed to be there. Things like, if you're not in the medical field, you wouldn't, but cytokines and inflammatory cells and chemicals that are not helpful to an egg fertilizing and implanting. So there's a lot of different things that can cause it.
I think I went to all the classes in med school. I didn't skip class or anything, but I didn't. I learned more in that last 5 minutes than I think I remember during my med school class. That was really descriptive, Eric.
Well, this is the tragedy and embarrassment to my specialty.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
We
have a whole nother half of the show, and we're going to talk much more with Dr. Eric Hegard. We have several text messages that are going to help drive our conversation after the break.
And if you'd rather call in your question, that's the same number as the text number. That's 651-989-9226. Again, 651-989-9226. We expect more showers and thunderstorms here in the Twin Cities today and overnight as well. Right now, mostly cloudy skies. The dew point at 62 and the current WCCO temperature reading at 69 degrees.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin Healthcare, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Long with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. Welcome to this portion of Healthy Matters. We have one particular number. You can call in your question or send a text. Either way, same number, 651-989-9226. And if you're just joining us a little bit late, Dr. Hilden, good morning. For those joining us, who did you bring with you today?
I brought Dr. Eric Hegard. He is a gynecologist. Do you do obstetrics too?
I do.
Okay, so he's an obstetrician gynecologist at Hennepin Healthcare. He is here in the studio to talk about endometriosis. I've got just a couple of housekeeping things. First of all, I'm working this week. I'm actually on the service. I'm doing inpatient care. So right now, I've got a strong group of resident physicians who I hope are working hard.
Are they listening?
I don't know. I don't know. But sometimes
if I were your resident, I'd be listening.
Yeah,
to you.
Exactly. And so I have, for listeners, resident physicians, what that is, they are physicians who are in training still. When you finish medical school, you're not done, unfortunately. You do your 4 years of medical school after you did your 4 years of college. But then you have to do a residency, and the shortest residency is 3 years. That's what internal medicine is, what I do. How long is OBGYN? Is it four?
Four.
4 years of extra training.
So let me ask you this, Dr. Hilden,
yeah.
if you don't mind just jumping in here. Why is it that internal medicine, which I hope you don't take offense to this, but you guys are like brains with legs, right?
Yeah.
You have to be the smartest people.
We're the nerds of medicine.
The nerds. So why is it that you guys have a 3-year residency and OBGYNs who are down the
I don't know. I think it's because you're surgical.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that.
Because an obstetrician gynecologist is a surgeon.
Yes.
But also sees patients in the clinic. Okay. I don't know. That's what I think it is. Yeah. You do bring up a good point. I often say that, you know, internal medicine, we are sort of the nerds of medicine because we do the chronic diseases and more of the thinking kind.
That's right.
We're what's called one of the cognitive specialties. So we do diabetes and cancer and heart disease. And we're not surgeons, or we don't do as many procedural things. So if my residents are there, I hope you're listening. If not, I hope you're taking real good care of the patients, and I will be there shortly. The second bit of business I want to say is that if you live in the Northwest Metro, our Brooklyn Park Clinic has doubled in size, and we want to encourage you. If you need primary care, pediatrics, if you need chiropractic, physical therapy, we have infusion therapy there. We have all kinds of specialties at the recently expanded Brooklyn Park Clinic. You couldn't get much more convenient, full-stop shopping medical care than at the beautiful new Brooklyn Park Clinic of Hennepin Healthcare. If you want more information, go to hennepinhealthcare.org/Brooklyn Park. And you can learn all about that. I really encourage you. But you know what? I often talk about the facilities like I just did. And I often talk about our new facility in downtown Minneapolis, which is just a state-of-the-art medical facility. But you know what? It's not really the building that makes the difference. It is the people you will see when you get there. I think you're going to find you get the best, most person-centered care you could possibly have at our Brooklyn Center Clinic. Okay. So we're talking about endometriosis. And we were talking about what is it, what causes it, and what are some of the symptoms of it. Could you tell us, Dr. Hegar, what you can do about it? What are the treatments of endometriosis? And then I'm going to go to some text lines because we have a lot of questions.
Well, we could do a whole show about treatment of this, but I will tell you this. In my mind, the most important thing we can do about this is to recognize it exists and to be aware of it. Because where, at what point you intervene, you know, whether if you're lucky enough to intervene early versus if you intervene when somebody's had it for 10, 15, 20 years, depends on what you can do and how effective it is. And so that's why we were talking a little bit before about the importance of just talking about this and recognizing it. And but the treatments really are there are medical treatments and there are surgical treatments, and oftentimes we combine those. And you're kind of how you decide what to do depends on what the goal is, because endometriosis causes two kind of overarching things. One is it causes pain. The other is it causes fertility issues. And so sometimes when you're trying to – so you got to decide with the patient what is the primary thing. So if you're coming to see me and your issue is pain, I might – undoubtedly I'll probably treat you differently than if you come and see me with your main – symptom being you're having trouble getting pregnant, because sometimes when you're trying to manage one thing, it actually makes the other one harder. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to get somebody, help them get pregnant, sometimes some of the treatments we use for that can actually exacerbate endometriosis and vice versa. So there's so a lot of times medical treatment, which usually involves either decreasing estrogen levels or increasing progesterone levels, it can help symptomatically, but it doesn't really do anything about the disease. So you're not really doing anything about the condition. You're just trying to manage the symptoms, which is fine. And so surgery, the decision to operate on somebody, which again is a huge conversation, is really based on whether somebody's failed the more conservative, less risky options, or if you're trying to manage somebody who's maybe having trouble getting pregnant, you don't know why, and you're kind of at a decision tree where it's either go on to in vitro fertilization, for example, or go in and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, from my point of view is that there are effective treatments. It's a chronic condition that you really need to just realize that this is something that you're probably a patient's going to be managing over her life, to varying degrees. And to have a good rapport and conversation with your provider to make sure you discuss you understand the different options.
There's a text message, question that's very succinct. I'm just going to say it to you. Can this affect us in our 70s?
Yes, it can. Absolutely. And so this is one of the myths. There's a lot of myths about endometriosis, which is, for example, well, you can't, you're too young to have endometriosis. Well, they found endometriosis in fetuses and in girls that aren't even in adolescence yet. So you can be, you can have endometriosis when you're young. You can also have endometriosis when you're post, menopausal. And the reason why there's confusion about that is endometriosis is an estrogen dependent condition. Estrogen is the fuel that, that fuels these little lesions, these, the endometriosis implants. And so, you know, the way, as I was saying, the way we manage symptoms oftentimes is medically is to try to decrease the estrogen levels. So you're taking fuel away from the fire, or try to increase progesterone levels, which have the opposite effect. So, but, and so you, people think, well, okay, I'm postmenopausal. There's not much estrogen left. The symptoms should go away. And oftentimes they do. But there's a subset of people who can still have endometriosis symptoms even when they're postmenopausal, because these little evil beasts of endometriosis are have a what's called an aromatase. Some of them mutate and have an aromatase, which is an enzyme which allows them to create their own estrogen. So you can try to, you know, cut off estrogen, but they'll create it on their own. And so that's why you can still have active endometriosis in, if you're in your 70s, but also the repercussions of having had endometriosis of your life, you know, adhesions, scarring, that sort of thing can, you know, that doesn't go away necessarily.
So estrogen being the primary or one of the big primary female hormones that drops somewhat at at menopause. Is that always the case that the your estrogens drop? So so for some women, it could get better. Is that
for many women? Yeah, for many women, probably most women, if they have endometriosis and they go through menopause, their estrogen levels drop not to zero, but pretty close. So the you know the average estrogen circulating level in somebody who's, you know, 25 years old is probably anywhere from, I'm just whipping this off the top of my head, but it's like 70 to 200, let's just say. And so when you're menopausal, it drops down to less than 10 probably. And so, but, you know, they, some cases of endometriosis, the lesions mutate and allow them to create their own fuel.
Great. I'm getting the signal here from Devin that we might need to take a break. And so I'm going to go to the text line at the other side.
All right. Very good. Here is the number both for text and phone calls, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. We'll be back after the break, 71 degrees on WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Healthy Matters. If you'd like to get involved in the show, you can call us or text us, 651-989-9226. That number applies to both calls and texts, and I know we have a bunch.
Okay, let's go to some text lines, Dr. Hegar. This one says, I have painful, debilitating periods since I was young. I was missing class, missing work, usually on day one and day four of the cycle. I was not diagnosed with endometriosis or anything else. What else could this be? So what about painful periods? You know, I know we talked about that way early in the show relative to endometriosis, but just in general, talk about painful menstrual periods and what should women or people experience that do?
Well, if she has periods that were so painful that she had to miss school or activities, I would say there's a 95% chance she probably did have endometriosis. Mm-hmm. There's some other conditions that can cause that. There's a condition called adenomyosis, which is where actually the lining of the uterus that bleeds every month starts to invade into the muscle of the uterus, almost like a weed invades into the soil underneath. And so if you have adenomyosis, when you have periods, you're not just bleeding out the uterus, but you're bleeding in the muscle. Extraordinarily painful. Heavy bleeding and that sort of thing. So, but a lot of times we call them evil twins. Endometriosis and adenomyosis can go together. But from what she's describing, you asked what else could it be? Well,
not you know, many other things.
If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, and
it's a duck,
it's probably a duck. And so, this, I could almost, you know, I'd say the chance that it's anything else but endometriosis is probably unlikely. So where should she go?
What should she do?
Yeah. Well, you want to get, like a lot of things in medicine, you want to advocate for yourself. And the perfect patient is somebody who educates themselves and can bring information into you and help you as a clinician make a proper diagnosis. So advocate for yourself and educate yourself. There's some places to go to. Great resources online. There's the Endometriosis Foundation that was co-founded by Padma Lakshmi, who's a celebrity chef, actress, model. Great organization. They also have a part of that organization that is devoted to educating middle schoolers and middle school teachers. Center for Endometriosis Care in Atlanta has got a great website. Most areas of the country have support groups that are regional. Like, for example, in Minneapolis, we have Minnesota Endo Warriors. Great organization. You can just look
Minnesota
them up.
Minnesota Endo Warriors?
Endo Warriors.
Can you just search for that online?
Yep.
So you said three things. Endometriosis Foundation.
Center for Endometriosis Care. Here in the Twin Cities, we have Minnesota Endo Warriors. There's also a Minnesota Endometriosis Support Group. And then if you are on Facebook, which virtually everybody with a pulse is in this world, there's a organization, a support group called Nancy's Nook. If you have symptoms, if you think you've got endometriosis, I would suggest signing up. It's a private group, but and Nancy was the nurse for a doctor named Dr. Redwine, who was one of the pioneers of modern endometriosis surgery. And so she has been running this for years. And when I first met Nancy, I've never met her personally, but we talked on the radio or on the telephone and communicated. There were about 8,000 people on the support group. Now, there's now easily over 50, maybe 60,000 people. So you can get great information. So don't be isolated. Get good information because you want to, number one, get information, but also you want to get into somebody who knows what they're doing. And so they can. There's a lot of resources there.
That's really helpful. Here's back to the text line. I was told after a total hysterectomy by my OBGYN that my uterus was completely covered by fibroids.
Yeah.
Are fibroids different from endometriosis?
Yes, fibroids are muscle tumors. They're benign, non-cancerous muscle tumors. The uterus is made of muscle. That's basically what it is, with a glandular lining that bleeds every month if you're having periods. And that muscle can make benign growths, just like your skin can make a benign mole, or, you know, and so it's just a muscle, benign muscle growth. They look like little marbles. They can be little marbles and they can be huge marbles, but it's a completely different thing than endometriosis.
Here's another text that says, why can endometriosis not be seen on a CT scan or an MRI?
Sometimes it can be, but most
have to be pretty big, right?
Yeah, it has to. Those imaging modalities need a mass. It needs enough of whatever disease you're looking for to create a blob, you know, something that has three dimensionality to it. Endometriosis it invades the thin lining that surrounds our abdomen and pelvis, called the peritoneum, and so most of these lesions early on are very thin, and so you can't pick them up on ultrasound or CT or MRI. Now, in severe cases, you can see findings that are suggestive of, though not diagnostic. So you might see a cyst on the ovary that looks, there's a thing called an endometrioma, which is an endometriosis cyst that has a very characteristic appearance to it. And so you can pretty much say, yeah, that's probably endometriosis. But the only real diagnosis is you have to look at it and biopsy it. So surgery.
You do robotic surgery, correct?
I do.
Could you just in 60 seconds tell us what that is?
Robotic surgery is maybe better understood by calling it robotic-assisted laparoscopy. So many people have heard of what a laparoscope is, which is when you put a camera into the abdomen, or really, they do it everywhere. They look in the chest, they look in joints. That's endoscopy. But in my area, you're looking in the pelvis and the abdomen with a camera. That's called a laparoscopy. And historically, what we've done is we put in these little tubes in the abdomen and we put instruments through there and we manipulate things. We have little forceps and scissors and that sort of thing. And you're controlling this with your hand and you're looking with your eyes. Well, robotic assisted laparoscopy, you have a robot that attaches to those instruments. And so then you step away, you know, you're sitting maybe, usually we're sitting 5-10 feet away and looking through a console, and you're controlling these same instruments that are similar instruments that you did with your hands using robotic assistance. So the precision is just unparalleled. You can, and what's helpful for what I do, which is surgery for endometriosis, you ideally want to go and cut this stuff out. Cut it out, not buzz it with cautery or whatever. You want to cut it out. And so it's so good at helping at least me see those little spots or the lesions, and sometimes it's much more than that, and to be able to cut it out.
And I was told you were one of the first credentialed to do that.
In Minnesota, yes. So I started in 2008, and my group and I went and we were brought out to be trained for it. And so I recognized the advantages of it right off the bat. And I've done probably close to 1,000.
And so this is one of the most, Dr. Hegart is one of the most experienced robotic gynecologic surgeons there is. He now is at Hennepin Healthcare, so I would say you might want to consider your practice is open for patients?
Open. We are open.
He's open for business. Yeah. Literally.
I'm going to go down to the corner on Nickel
Mall. Yeah, exactly.
Mall.
He's one of the first,
sprinkle my cards,
first gynecologists to do this robotic surgery. If you want to get a hold of him, I know we're running out of time. If you want to get a hold of him or any of our practitioners at Hennepin Healthcare, that's the same number, 612-873-6963. Do you know what I might do is, I do at the myhealthymatters.org blog, I put up some information related to the shows. I think I'm going to put up those. I'll work with Dr. Hegart and put up a blog post about endometriosis resources. So look for that in the coming days at myhealthymatters.org. You don't have to wait. You can go to that site right here and now and look up all of the dozens, hundreds of other posts I've done over the years at myhealthymatters.org. But look there in the coming week, and I'll do some about endometriosis, including those resources that Dr. Hegart had mentioned. We're out of time. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much.
It goes
Dr.
quickly.
Hilden.
You are a wealth of knowledge. Welcome to Hennepin.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be at Hennepin County.
He is Dr. Eric Hegart. He's been practicing for a long time, but only for the last month at our place. And so we are lucky to have him with us. We've been talking about endometriosis on the show today. If you need to get in touch with him, or not him, but if you need to schedule an appointment, 612-873-6963.
What's on the show next week?
We're going to do an open lines.
Uh-huh.
Open line, so get any and all of your questions ready, and I'll try to answer them.
Good deal. We'll see you back here then. In the meantime, mostly cloudy skies. We expect showers today here in the Twin Cities. Highs of 83 right now. It's 71 degrees on 830 WCCO.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.